We had to. I need you to be more specific as to the number of mice you see. Never seen those type of mice here, but we our mouses are growing in numbers. So
I'm still trying to figure out, and I know what it is, but somebody out there's doing the math going, Ben's not even flustered by the fact that there's one fewer mouse than there are screens.
We have one computer that has two monitors.
Oh, yeah.
We have a computer for, if you've checked out our social media lately, and I hope you have, you're starting to see more and more video content. And you see, we have a computer, have a monitor that is showing me the video stream. I have a monitor showing me the podcast stream. I have our traffic monitor, which is all your commercials. I have two that have the phones and the text and my working computer. I have one that shows me all the technical stuff and the people driving through our parking lot. So there's a lot happening here, and I'm getting confused by the number of mouses.
NASA has fewer mouses than us, that's what I'm hearing. Not as many mouses.
This can't be healthy for me, right? Having six screens staring at
me. It'll be fine. Will Vannevoort joins the program. We need to know mouses, meese, or mice. Meese is the text lines. That's the text lines idea. Willie V. What's up?
I guess it's mice, if I'm saying plural. Right? A mouse, if it's singular.
Mouses,
that's how I do it.
Meeses. Meese. It's got to be, right? Here's a question that you can't answer, okay? Here's a question that's legitimate. Why is Dabo being so secretive, man? What's he got to hide?
Listen, I read Chappell's article, and I laughed at it. And here's why. The people that are complaining are obviously the people that tell all of us what's going on. Because they're telling reporters they can't get in. Like, you know, I mean, so...
Yeah, we've never been able to get in. We've never seen scrimmages.
No, I haven't seen a scrimmage since Tommy Bowden. I mean, this Dabo's... If I'm Dabo, I'm getting a chuckle out of this, because Dabo's like, yeah, there you are. I know who you are now. Not that he knows exactly who they are, but his point is being made. Like, this is why he's keeping them out of the scrimmage. Because they're talking to reporters. So I kind of chuckled, because it's kind of like... You know, not that, hey, listen, trust me, I'm a guy who tries to find people that were at the scrimmage and get reports as well. So I understand it, and I'm appreciative of those people that have always helped me through the years. But I chuckle at the article, because it's like, okay, you're complaining you can't get in because Davin said too much is getting leaked out, and you're leaking this information to the media so you can get the media to know that they're not letting people in. It's kind of hilarious. I'm sorry. I think that's hilarious. But anyway, look, I get it. You know, Dabo, this is a big year. Dabo was very aggravated when he came into practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Came out of practice. Now, they must have had a bad practice. I mean, he immediately gets on to Levi. Levi's there, and he says, Levi, what are you doing here? And Levi's like, you know, he's like, well, you going to be part of the media now? He's like, all right, Ross. Take Levi off the media, off the practice list. He can't watch practice anymore. You know, I was like, okay.
Dang.
Wow. Oh, dang. Like, you know, poor Levi. Levi catches
strays. I know, right? Catching strays. He didn't ask for that.
And then Dabo was just like, you know, it was one of the shorter gatherings we had with Dabo. You could tell he was like I said, they must have had a bad practice or something. Something that aggravated him. He seemed a little aggravated. And, yeah, so he was, I think what you're seeing, Quark, is that he knows it's a big year for his program. I think he wants total focus within the program. Not, you know, as he likes to say, no outside noise, if you will. And I think he wants, because they want to make sure what happened last year doesn't happen again. And so this game against LSU is huge. I know a lot of people say, well, it's not conference. It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it does. Because here's why. Clemson, if they lose one conference game, they're in a hole to get to the SEC championship. So beating LSU in the way Commissioner Phillips explained the tiebreaker, a win over an LSU team on the road would be huge for Clemson, because if they were to lose a conference championship game, Clemson has an ace in a hole if he comes down to tiebreakers, because they'll have a win that nobody else has. And I think that's why this game is so important. That's why this season is so important, because I think Dabo understands, like, he's got to get Clemson back up to where it was. Like, you know, you heard the comments where he said, you know, at ACC Media Days, he said 7-6 is never acceptable at Clemson. It is a horrible season at Clemson. And he expressed that, because somebody's saying, well, some people would say 2-10 is a horrible season. He says that Clemson 7-6 is. And I thought that was eye-opening to tell me how important Dabo feels about this 2026 season.
All right, here's where I'll – and I'm not disagreeing with you, but my perspective is, if the things that are happening are good, who cares if you say it? You know, as long as you're not saying plays and personnel packages, like Christopher Vezina looks good, the receivers look amazing. If that's what is going to come out of your scrimmage, then let everybody, who cares? Like, tell LSU, who cares? You know, to me, it lends itself to, and I say this all the time to people, if you're not forthcoming, if you're not out front, then somebody's telling that story, no matter what it is. Will Vandevort's telling the story because you're out there trying to tell the story. Larry Williams, David Hood, Grayson Mann, Ashby Mixon, y'all are out telling the story. Jason Priester, y'all are out telling the story. And to me, that's going to happen whether practice is open or not. So it would lead me to believe that maybe there are some questions or there are some things, there are some concerns that Dabo and the football program don't want out there. Am I off base there?
Probably not. And I think a prime example, that was the other night, we're interviewing David Ezime. I hope I'm saying that right. Apologize if I didn't. You know, he's talking to us, and I ask about the quarterbacks, and he's like, I'm working on myself, just trying to get better. And then Grayson asked about the quarterbacks, and he says, I'm working on myself, just trying to get better. So it's
good coaching.
Relay to the
well coached player.
Not to talk about the quarterback situation. And I think this is probably why, Clark, because your report, you're right. Like, you know, I'll come out with a report, or whoever will come out with a report. So Christopher Zena, you know, was doing this and this and this. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe that because Tate Reynolds has not become engaged, or vice versa. Maybe Christopher Zena loses his engagement, you know, because he's hearing how wonderful Tate Reynolds is, and he's going to probably get the job. So there might be something to that. And then also understand what happened last year was a cancer went through this program that has never gone through this program before under Dabo Swinney. There was tremendous jealousy within the program. Players making more money than other players. They didn't understand why. Why is this player getting this much money, but maybe not giving this much effort and all this stuff? That was going on. Team was trying to get around that, and they were struggling with it at times last year. And part of that comes in with reporting, talking. Some of it's true, some of it's not. Players hear this, they don't know what to believe. So I think Dabo's way of thinking is, we got to get a control of what's going on inside our program, get everybody on the same page. Don't let everybody think that what they read or see out there is the facts or is true or whatever. And, you know, I think he's just trying to grab the program and keep everything in-house, truly. And because that wasn't the case last year, man. There was a lot of jealousy in that program last year, and that's why they struggled to a 7-6 season. You know, I think he wants to make sure those same mistakes they made last year don't happen again this year.
Will Vandevort joining the program. Check him out. ClemsonSider.com, the Believe Podcast Network, at Steely Will on Twitter. A couple things he did say yesterday, and I wonder which one of these you find most important. He specifically mentioned Ashton Hampton, basically called the guy a rock star. He said every day shows up like it's a Super Bowl. That was cool. On the not cool, mm-hmm. He was asked about Vic Beasley, and he was basically like, I don't know. He's hurt. You know, we'll see day to day. You know, it was one of those things where he was kind of short on Beasley. On those two players, because I feel like Ashton Hampton emerging as a star, very good development. Vic Beasley being injured again with his 93rd malady and his, you know, 15 years at Clemson or whatever would be bad. What, which one do you believe is more important?
The Vic Beasley is more important because you don't have much depth on the defensive line, and especially a defensive tackle. And so that's a guy who's now behind in camp. He's missing camp again. He came in from what I was here we go from what I heard. He came into camp a little out of shape, right? And you know, not where he needed to be. And you know, now he's a little banged up already. And this is a guy they need. You know, they need him because they don't have the numbers. And so now he's behind because he's missing several days, key moments of camp. And today, you know, I doubt he'll be back out there today, because if he was in yellow 2 days ago, there's no way he's playing today when the first day of pads start, right? So he's falling behind even further. You know, that to me is a bigger development. But I can also say the reason why is because Ashton Hampton last year, quote, the last half of the season, he was good. He was really good. Go back and watch that South Carolina game. Look how well he played when he had to be the guy. You know, and he had a good second half of the season. His first half wasn't very good. The second half of the season, he really came on and showed he can be that kind of corner you need him to be. Looked a lot more like he did the year before. I think the potential is there. We've seen it with Ashton Hampton. And now he's taking it to another level, obviously. And listen, there was a ton of scouts out there watching, and you know, Ashby did a good job, and you know, found out that the majority of them were there watching Mr. Hampton play. That's what they were there for, to watch him. And that kind of goes, if you think about it, the reports we've seen coming out of ESPN and other places with the NFL draft are saying he's the top corner, or maybe the top three corners in this year's draft class. And that kind of goes with it. If that's why most of those guys, those scouts, were there for that practice the other day. And that was their first time there, according to what Ashby reported as well. So, you know, so I think more for Vic Beasley than I do Ashton Hampton, even though it's good to hear Ashton Hampton is continuing or picking up where he left off last year and adding on to it.
All right, final question for you. I know Dabo mentioned linebackers and running backs. You wrote a story on the ClemsonInsider.com about that, about the two groups that nobody thinks much of. Brett Ciancia, who we're going to have on the program in the next couple days from Pick 6 Previews, has Clemson's linebacking corps number 6 in the nation. Very high on Clemson's linebackers. And I think Dabo is too. What can you tell us about the way Dabo views linebacker and running back, particularly given that, like, Jay Haynes is available now, running back? Like, you seem to have some of these guys, at least for the moment, that are healthy in that position group.
Yeah, I mean, listen, think about it. The way Jay Haynes played at the end of 2024 season, and, you know, they thought he was going to be able to, he was starting to take that next step, and it was going to be the guy for him. And then remember in the Texas game, Jarvis Green, remember the touchdown he caught in that playoff game that brought Clemson back. So those guys were banged up last year and didn't play. So you add them with David Eze, and you put them with you know, Chris Johnson Jr. and obviously Gideon Davidson, and now you got a pretty solid room. Dabo mentioned, he says, if those guys were healthy last year, we probably don't have five guys in the running back room. So he's like, I'm just gonna be honest with you. He's like, we probably don't have them. If those guys were healthy, they probably go somewhere else. And he was being real honest, you know, about that. But because they were banged up and they came back, now Clemson's got a lot of depth there, so I think they're really good there. And the linebackers surprised me. Obviously, Kobe McLeod, Jermaine Alexander, they were moving along pretty good during the spring. That seems to be the case through the first 5 days of fall camp. Not really surprised there, but Dabo, you know, mentioned, you know, Fletcher Cothran and Logan Anderson and C.J. Kuba-Taylor, and then even freshman Braden Riley. Talked about how those guys are flashing, and especially you know, Logan Anderson yesterday in practice, he said, was flashing. So, you know, if these guys are flashing and they're starting to show that potential, they're just young, right? And so, but they're going to need them. And so, you know, this is probably the first time since 2016 when you didn't really have that much depth at linebacker. And, you know, and of course that year, Ben Bowler and them ended up playing like every snap, if you remember, Qualk. And I think Dabo doesn't want that to happen again. So maybe the emphasis has been like, hey, let's get these younger guys ready so we can have some depth at linebacker. Because you know what? In football, injuries happen. And you got to have somebody ready to step up when that time comes.
Will, let me ask you this. You speak Daboese. You've covered him long enough to know what he's saying. Sometimes these guys who quote-unquote flash, it's really just an encourager to the player, and we never see him again. With these linebackers, how much of it is that, you think? How much of it are guys who you really expect to contribute?
I think when you think about a guy like Drew Woodaz, Logan Anderson, I think, you know, Cooper Taylor, I think those are guys they feel like been in the program a year or two now, should be ready to play and be counted on. So I think those guys are more like, yeah, I think, you know, they're going to put some stock into what they're seeing in practice. I think obviously when you talk about Braden Riley, they're definitely making sure he's just staying engaged, if you will. So I think it's, like you said, I always tell everybody, when you listen to Dabo, listen to what he doesn't say. That's what you got to listen to. And you know, so I think when I listen to Dabo say, okay, Logan Anderson and Drew Woodaz are flashing and doing their thing, he expects them to flash. So they better be flashing, right? Because you're a couple years into the program. When you hear a guy like Braden Riley is flashing, the freshman out of Cincinnati, that's to keep him engaged. To say, hey, man, you may be behind these guys, but we still think a lot of you, and we're going to find a way to get you on the field. So we want you to be engaged, so when that opportunity comes, you're ready to play. So it's a different message to each player, but I think you're absolutely right. You just got to know how Dabo Swinney's delivering the message and then who is he talking to necessarily.
Excellent stuff from Will Vannevort. We'll continue reading the ClemsonInsider.com. Check out the Believe Podcast, and we're going to ask Steel the Will on Twitter. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Will Vannevort joining the party. Much more to come when we return after this.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
We are the Upstate Sports Authority. Dolly's Roofing is the roofing authority. And the reason is because they use the best products on your roof. When you get somebody to put a roof on your house, you get somebody to fix your roof, especially you got a nice home, you got a business, you put a lot of equity in that. You put a lot of sweat equity, you put a lot of time, you put a lot of actual money in that. You need a roof over your head that's going to last. Well, the best materials, the best trained staff, the best warranty in the industry with a 50-year warranty, that's what Dolly's Roofing gives you. That's the Dolly difference. If you're in the upstate, if you're in Anderson or Hartwell or Kiowa, you're Joe Cassie, up toward Highlands or down in Toccoa, they can help you. Dolly'sRoofing.com's got what you need. That's Dolly'sRoofing.com.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports Talk is on the Roar.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
Hi, I'm Christopher Pratt. After a catastrophic injury, the loss of someone you love, everything changes. And while your family's trying to put the pieces back together, insurance companies and big corporations are already building their defense. These cases are serious, and they require serious lawyers. At Pratt Injury Lawyers, we focus on catastrophic injury and wrongful death cases. We have the resources, the talent, and the courtroom experience to fight for families during the hardest moments of their lives. Visit 864law.com for a free, no-obligation consultation.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
If you run a business, you need video, marketing video for your website,
social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
In the game of home ownership, don't let a power outage bench your home's defense. This is Jim Clouk, host of the Checka Pro Radio Show. This week, I'm joined by Steve from Never Dark Generators. We're huddling up to discuss how you can keep your lights, your AC, and your big screen running no matter what the weather throws at you. Don't get left in the dark. Get the winning play for reliable backup power. Join us this and every Sunday morning at 11, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with 3 locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers!
Progressive presents perfectly bad excuses for missing stuff to spend more time on your motorcycle.
Hey, Tom. Gonna miss the 5K. Gotta organize my...
past what actually is happening in the... or I guess we have to get past what we have to say and what's actually happening in the world. We're not allowed to say that players are getting paid to play. We're not allowed to say that. But that's very obviously what is happening here. We all agree with that, right? Very obviously, they are being paid to perform. They're not being paid to do videos on social media. They are being paid to perform. I would agree. If you show up out of, if you're paid to be here, and you've been paid a lot of money, and you show up to camp out of shape, yes, I actually think that is a good reason why you should be, you know, not right now because we're at the start of the season, but that will factor into your negotiation next year. It would have to. I think for fans, you never want to hear about this, but particularly now with guys getting paid, yes, absolutely. Guys coming to camp out of shape, you hate to hear it. So I'm fully with it. You can be as mad as you want about that because it's ridiculous. And especially if it's guys who are never healthy and never available and they clearly are not doing anything different, that is a red flag. That would be a red flag for me. Ben, you said something before we started talking to Will Vandervoort that just, it thrilled my heart. You said that you went down some sort of a statistical rabbit hole with the Braves last night.
Oh, yeah, that. Braves get a win, a rare shutout. Was a shutout, right?
Yeah, it was. 4-0.
4-0.
4-0. Do you struggle with saying nil now, even though
soccer's
not a thing?
I have never once in my life struggled with the use of nil.
Amazing.
It's always going to be zero to
Amazing.
Me.
Amazing.
Or nothing, as we say here in
nothing.
The South.
For nothing.
For nothing. The Braves win, and they hit 2 home runs in the process last night. Now, you know, Kwok, that I have said many times that the Atlanta Braves are too reliant on the long ball in order to secure victories. And so, I had in my mind that there was going to be an overwhelming number of victories when the Braves hit a home run. They're 4th in Major League Baseball in home runs. So, it stands to reason, right? I went game by game trying to see what that record is. And I was doing this to prove my point. And actually, the stats prove that I am incorrect on that, to my surprise. And I'm encouraged by that. Through last night's game, the Braves, they've played 36 games where they had 0 home runs. Their record in those games, 23-13.
Wow.
That's not – so That means of the other games, in their victories, only 32% of their victories come when a home run is hit. That blows my mind because, you know, as a Braves fan, I watch them every night. Every night I'm at home, that is what we have on TV. There is this feel, this sense, and I'm just shocked by this because that the Braves, I thought those were going to be reversed. I thought they were going to win about 70% of their games where they hit a home run, and it's actually the other way around. So they are manufacturing runs more than me and some other Braves fans give them credit for. Are you surprised by that?
I'm a little surprised by this. I'm going to look this up. Let me see if I can find it. The Atlanta Braves as a team, I feel like have gone through stages. And I can't put my finger on exactly why or how that looks, but they've gone through some stages. I'm going to call it the Mauricio Dubon phase, where Dubon just went bonkers. And basically, that was the manufacture runs phase. Matt Olson phase, where it seems like everything is a towering fly ball that goes 420 feet. When Ronald Acuna's out, when Austin Riley is not hitting, you're a little more scratch and claw, try to figure it out. It just feels like there have been four or five different iterations, and at different moments, they have relied on different things. I think right now they're in kind of a home run moment where they do seem to be a little bit reliant on the long ball. They're not manufacturing runs quite as well. They're not running the bases quite as well. And again, some of that has to do with, you know, you traded out Eli White for Lane Thomas. Eli White's probably, if you've got Eli White in your lineup, you're probably going to be more of a run manufacturer. If Michael Harris is out or Ronald Acuna's out or Austin Riley's out or Sean Murphy's out, you're probably going to be a little more run manufacturer. But when those guys are all in the lineup, you're probably swinging. You don't have a lot of bunt guys. You don't have a lot of situational at-bat guys in that lineup. So I'm surprised it's 23-13. I do think probably they need to come out of this moment because you can fall in love with hitting home runs and letting that be your thing, and then there's going to be a time where you're going to have to win a game 3-2 where the wind's blowing in 15 miles an hour and somebody's pitching like crazy. You're going to have to figure that out. I think this offense is well-rounded enough that they can do it. They can fit the moment as well as anybody in baseball. That's where I'm at right now. Let me see this here. I'm looking at some of the hard hit numbers. The Braves are hitting the ball, like on a night and night out basis, they are hitting the ball really hard. Like basically 50% of their contact is hard contact right now in the last two-ish weeks. Really dating all the way back, I would say the last time they had a light hitting game was like July 28th against the Mets. I mean, they're barreling up multiple balls a night. They're just screaming the baseball. Their average exit velocity the last 2 days has been 85-plus miles an hour, which is absurd. That's just really, really good. So the Braves are in a good groove right now. Even their outs are hard hit. They're in a really good group right now. Text from the 248 says the average in baseball is 65-70%. So that provides a little better contact to those to those numbers. Then,
let me just read that again. I may have muffed that a bit. They've played 36 games with zero home runs. And in the 36 games with zero home runs, they are 23-13.
Okay.
23 of their 72 wins have come without a home run. So they're 32% of their wins, they're not hitting a home run.
Okay.
I still think that the fact that you're 23-13 in the wins, you've won 23 out of 13 with zero home runs, to me would support that you are not reliant on the long ball.
Yes. It either means, and you'd have to look at the individual games, it either means your manufacturing runs well or your pitching and defense. Because it's hard to score five runs without a home run. Like, that's just, you can do it some, but it's not, you're not going to be able to do that on a night-in, night-out basis. There's going to be a lot of games where you're scoring like one, two, three runs if you're not hitting a home run. They can win like that if your pitching and defense is – and the bullpen's been great, and they've gotten enough from their starting pitching. That I would love to break down that 23-13 further and just see, you know, how many of those games are they scoring and how many of those games are they, you know, winning a race to three or something like that. I'd be fascinated by that. Hey, let's go to James the truck driver before we take our final break. 654-ROAR if you'd like to get in. Hey, James.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good, man. Hope you're doing well.
I was just a little bit afraid. I said, man, I'm fishing, pulling to this company. I'm going to get out the phone.
Oh, we got you. But we got you, man.
But it worked out. Hey, I was going to ask you, where you see South Carolina and playing Georgia Bulldogs this year? Do we get blown out? Or do we kind of make it a decent game? I'm not saying we're going to beat Georgia. And also, before I go, have y'all heard that song Worthy of It All by C.C. Winans?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
If that don't light you up, something wrong. The water is dead, brother. Worthy of It All. I come down the road. I said, man, I'm going to turn Pentecostal back to Costco.
It has to be the live version of that. Her live version of that is the one to listen to.
Oh, man, it is so good. I heard it once. I said, this sound good. Worthy of It All. I said, Lord, you are so worthy. Man.
Amen.
I better stop because I'm trying to drive. But James, I let you go. Thank you so much.
Great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
We had a texter earlier today actually ask if we had heard from James, the truck driver, lately. So there you go.
I'm looking at the South Carolina-Georgia game. I think South Carolina can hang. Don't ask me to prove it. It's senior day for South Carolina. It's after Arkansas on the road, which is it's a very winnable game. For Georgia, you've got it before Georgia Tech, obviously. And you know, I think that's the type of thing that you would be nervous about. If you're 9-1 going into that game, you'd be a little nervous about. I think South Carolina, I'm not sure they win, but I think they can make them nervous. Final segment. We got Hump Day headlines coming your way.
The countdown is on. 24 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
Alabama's showing blitz, and they'll come with it. Watson throwing her across the middle as a complete Renfro. Inside the 20, inside the 10 and the 5. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro goes in from 24 yards out for the touchdown.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
No one ever wants to deal with roof trouble, but when it happens, it's comforting to know who to call. Your roof protects your home, your family, and everything inside, and that kind of trust really matters. That's why so many upstate families turn to Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
Family-owned and operated since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son has been taking care of homes and businesses across the upstate for decades. They believe in doing things the right way, with quality craftsmanship, honest answers, and a neighbor-first approach. From small repairs to complete roof replacements, their team takes pride in their work.
When it comes to your roof, don't cut corners. Choose the name families across the upstate have trusted for years, Joe Robertson and Son Roofing. Rely on the upstate's most trusted roofing experts since 1965. Get started today.
Call 864-246-0886 or visit robertsonroofing.net.
Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni-owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's E-S-T-E-S Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them.
We are here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, anything to prevent pine beetles?
The most important thing we can do is to preventatively spray our trees. We're going to spray the bottom 8 feet of that tree because those bugs don't fly very well. They just bump into things and climb up and then they kill the tree. So a preventative spray, what we call a borer spray, because these are boring insects, depends on where you are, how bad the infestation is, but up to 7 times a year to spray to keep those bugs out.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Did you know your tires could be costing you money every time you drive? Worn thread, low air pressure, or the wrong tires for your vehicle can drag down your fuel economy and hit your wallet where it hurts. At Skinner Tire, they'll check your tire condition, set you up with the right fit, and help you get the most miles out of every tank. Plus, with trusted brands in stock and road service trucks ready to roll, they got you covered wherever you are. Save gas, save money, call Skinner Tire today. 864-599-0026.
William from Scores Jewelers. There are a lot of events in life that are memorable, but certain moments are milestones and need to be commemorated. A marriage, the birth of a child, an anniversary or birthday. These are special markers in a life well lived that deserve a little more recognition. Whether you've discovered the person that makes you feel alive or your little one is ready to graduate, Scores Jewelers can help you find the perfect symbol of your feelings and commitment. Show those you love how much these moments mean with a gift that will last a lifetime from Scores Jewelers. I invite you to Scores Jewelers, where we specialize in helping you say, I love you. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
Football season is in full swing, and the best place to catch every rivalry and every big shot is Twin Peaks. Every scratch made favorites, legendary wings, and 29-degree draft beer. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Everyday businesses and organizations face cyber threats, and they need skilled professionals to stop them. At Tri-County Technical College, their new cybersecurity program prepares you with hands-on training in network security, ethical hacking, and systems protection. Whether you're starting fresh or leveling up your skills, you can train for a fast-growing, high-demand career right at TCTC. Don't wait to secure your future. Visit tctc.edu/CIT to get started today.
Out of Bounds, where no stat is left untouched.
Nerd alert!
If you want to geek out about sports, join Qualk and Ben from noon to 3 p.m. every day right here on The Roar, where the upstate...
Obviously, we got plenty to do the next 2 days, but I'm always excited to wrap up these Wednesday shows because there's just hilarity going on in sports, and we need them. We need our friend Mike the Camel.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ben Milstead, you have the floor, sir, with hump day headlines.
I did not see this, but apparently Hard Knocks with the Seattle Seahawks began last night on HBO. And there was a clip. Again, I'm reading this. There was a clip where head coach Mike McDonald of the Seahawks was talking with the head coach of the Spurs, Mitch Johnson, about leadership and about Victor Wembanyama. And as part of that, Brian Wright, the GM of the Spurs, basically admits they tanked to get Wemby.
Oh,
he says, literally, 12 months later, we put a plan into motion to turn the team over and have a chance to draft him in a couple of years.
Wait, what?
To which social media exploded with, so you're telling us you had a plan to tank. And that's exactly what they did.
All right, we know that's what happened, but is it different when you say it?
Yeah, you're saying the quiet part out loud. Yes.
God, that's brutal.
It'd be interesting to see if the NBA doesn't ask some questions here.
Because you need the appearance that you're trying. That's the thing.
They fined the Jazz last year $500,000 for tanking.
Oh, yeah, for that game where both teams were like, we're just going to not play our starters in the second half. And then like, oh, we're going to play the two-way guys in the fourth. Like they had this agreement where they were definitely trying to lose.
Now, I mean, it's paid off no matter what the price is, but still.
Ben, have you seen this controversy about the cheater at Winghaven Golf Club?
Tell me more.
Okay. This is now a story that's gone viral to the point that people have made threats against this guy. Like, he's gotten abuse online. This is Zach Holland. He's a former college golfer. He's a 2-handicap. He was at a member guest or some sort of an event at Winghaven Country Club in O'Fallon, Missouri, and here's what he did. They had an extra prize for a hole-in-one, so he plays the first three holes of the round with his group, or maybe he plays the first two, and then at the third hole, he says, hey, he's already told them, hey, my grandma's not doing well. I may have to take a phone call at some point. So he takes this phone call. He's like, I'll catch up with you guys on the fourth hole, okay? I'll catch up with you guys on the fourth. So he goes to the fourth hole and takes his tee shot, okay, in the fourth hole under the guise of he's taking this phone call. He takes the tee shot, but he actually just placed the ball in the hole on the fourth hole and then sort of made a divot on the green. So his buddies catch up to him, and he basically says, hey, I was kind of just distracted, but I kind of bladed it, so it's up there somewhere. You know, it hit the green and bounced. And it turns out it's in the hole for a hole-in-one. There were cameras. Guy gets caught in the act by the cameras because no one saw it. There were no witnesses. Nobody was there. And they're like, shoot, no witnesses. And they're like, wait, though, there's cameras. We can see. So he's caught doing this on camera. He resigns his membership. Apparently he's getting online abuse. And you want to talk about a well-devised plan that almost worked, if not for the meddling cameras? This has now gone viral. It's taken the internet by storm.
Listen.
Big-time cheating.
I'm not opposed to the occasional foot wedge in golf. A hole-in-one is sacred.
Yes.
Don't cheat at all. But that's the one thing you just do not do. Yeah, that's bad.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Are you familiar with Flock cameras, the Flock automatic license plate cameras? Kind of controversial.
Very controversial,
okay.
Yes.
They read license plates and can give authorities all kinds of information depending on how deep they want to go with it. I mean, they can go as deep as, do you have car insurance? A 20-year-old West Virginia man was arrested on two felonies for basically cutting a Flock camera down in West Virginia. Okay. Did not like the Flock cameras. Destroyed said Flock camera. WDTV in West Virginia posted the clip on Facebook as a news story. They received over 29,000 comments, which included 20,000 alibis for the man. Like, man is innocent. I saw him serving at a soup kitchen at the time of the incident. Another one said, I know for a fact he was at his grandma's house making her spaghetti and switching channels for her on her Zenith. I was there with him the entire day. He's innocent.
That's hilarious. No,
free my boy. He ain't doing nothing. We were playing Halo 2 at that specific time. Got 20,000 alibis.
I love that we've gone beyond snitches get stitches to now basically we're going to reverse snitch. We're going to make sure that everyone knows that he was literally anywhere but the site. That's incredible. That's called having your voice back right there. Hey, Ben, are you familiar with these Flock cameras? These flock cameras are very controversial. That's mine, by the way.
Okay.
Are you familiar with these? Well, there was a town in New Jersey that just put up new ones all over the place, okay? Now, what if I told you that there was a rich new resident who reportedly paid for the entire town's flock cameras? What if I told you that this resident said more than a year ago on Pat McAfee's show, quote, "It's a sick society, isn't it? What is it with the entitlement to information that we're living in society these days?" And then also, he said the lack of privacy is the reason he left his longtime Malibu home, because he just didn't have enough privacy. Yes, Ben, Aaron Rodgers, fan of privacy, paid for his entire town's flock cameras so they can spy on all the other citizens.
So the guy who doesn't want you to say anything about his personal life buys one of the more controversial things out there right now? It's not controversial to me, but to many it is, and each his own. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is the guy who did this? You've got to be kidding me.
David Cavucci's Substack has a full report on this. Well worth your time and energy.
What are the odds that you and I both had a flock camera story on the same day?
I was like, he's going to tell that Aaron Rodgers story. I know he is.
The Chicago White Sox had a phenomenal promotion last night. As you know, Pope Leo is from Chicago. Grew up a White Sox fan. There were pictures of him at the 2005 World Series. The White Sox started a promotion where the first 2,500 people to buy this upgraded ticket package got a free Pope hat that had the White Sox logo on it. It went instantly. So they ordered 500 more. Poof, gone. They ended up buying 40,000 Pope hats. They had over 38,000 at the game last night. Everybody wanted the Pope house, Pope hat, and I've got to imagine. Now, you know, it's tall. It's what, 14, 15 inches tall, maybe?
It's pretty tall.
At least a foot tall. It's hard enough to see at a baseball game. You give everybody this big cardboard thing that they put on their head. I have not seen photos of that game last night, but I got to imagine there are a lot of people like looking around, can't see. 40,000 Pope hats at a Chicago White Sox game.
I knew that the stadium looked really full, and I was just like, what is happening here? Turned out, Pope hat game. You know what the Reds thought about the Pope hat promotion, Ben? You take your 4-1 lead and shove it in your Pope hat. 5-4 win. Suck it, Pope. Reds win 1-0 on Pope hat day. Love that.
Texas said, what the flock?
Ben, in our final couple minutes, I want to close with this. I don't even know what to do about this, okay? We've talked about how the WNBA is not remotely about basketball. It's about how many political issues we could just wedge into a sports night. I mean, it really is. That's what it is. Every game, the coaches have to talk about political issues. The players have to talk about political issues. Political commentators don't give a rat's behind who scored how many points. They just care whether you think that transgender athletes should play in women's sport. Like, that's all. Ben, Stephanie White is the worst at this. And I kind of feel bad for Stephanie White. She is the coach of the Indiana Fever. She for sure did not sign up to talk about politics and culture every day in her job. But Caitlin Clark is on her team, and Sophie Cunningham is on her team. So she has to talk about these things all the time. And she is absolutely the worst ever at it. I mean, horrible. To the point that she gave a statement that actually made it worse, but she got a bunch of stuff off her chest yesterday where she essentially is like, stop being predators, this league is great, I support the league, whatever. She did this, Ben, in reaction to people saying she doesn't support her players enough. She basically says, I do support my players, and then spent the whole time talking about the league as a whole.
I thought it was hilarious that she, in part of that, she said, basically said, choose love. And then at the end of it, She told us all to F off.
You go to hell. She really did.
She did. I'm not
she
making that up.
She actually did say that. I thought it was one of the weirdest things ever, because the complaint about her is like, you didn't go to Sophie Cunningham. You went to check on the player that tried to put her in the hospital. And her response to that is, I care about my players. Now, here's why the league is awesome.
Well, she also said, at the time I made that statement about Carrington clotheslining Sophie Cunningham, I didn't see the play. It wasn't until I saw the replay I realized how egregious it was. To which I say, then why was your first response to defend the other player when you didn't see the play?
Why is she – and you know what this is? And I, oh, man, I wish I had more time to do this. She disagrees with Sophie Cunningham. And, I mean, there's a political statement in there somewhere, but, like, a coach's first response, you have to defend your player. Always, 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 you have to defend your player unless your player's obviously wrong, bad for the game. You have to defend your player. The fact that she won't means that she disagrees with Sophie Cunningham –